All right, now I want to do part two of the topic, which is more difficult to write for me, philosophy or fiction. I covered philosophy's difficulties for me last time. Now let's turn to fiction. Now, fiction, in the respects to what we're talking about, is the reverse of philosophy. It is, in essence, the depiction of concretes, of Gauls, of the strike, etc., of characters and actions. Now, of course, in philosophic fiction, there is a philosophic theme, and it's certainly relevant to the total, but in terms of the focus on the content, writing the content, you are writing about concretes, with philosophy being mostly implicit. So your focus is the opposite, as it is in philosophy. Moreover, as against philosophy, you do not let the reader into where you're going. Certainly not all the time. You have deliberate mysteries where the reader wonders, why is this happening? Who are they talking about? If it's done in the kind of way where it's intelligible enough so that's a problem for them. That's what we want, suspense novels, who done it, etc. There's nothing equivalent to that in philosophy. But as the shrug begins, who is John Galt? And then doesn't tell us for a huge number of pages. Now, you could not say, start a book on objectivism and say, what is the axioms? And then 50 pages later, get to them. There's a logical step-by-step mandated that the reader has to understand where it's exactly not true in many cases in regard to fiction. Now, there are other ways in which the two are different in terms of writing, but I want to give you some of the problems and difficulties I've faced, and that's just with the first short story I wrote. To begin with, I wrote a story, a good dialogue, good characters, situation, etc., and I gave it to my daughter and said, what do you think of my story? She said, this is not a story, it's a play. And I said, I don't know what she's talking about. She says, only dialogue. Oh, this is just two people talking, it's a conversation. A story has to take place in the world. It has to have what they call grounding. You have to be able to physically to be there and perceive. But you don't have any of that. So you have to keep in mind when you write, see, it's easy for me to write dialogue because that's already thought, abstractions, and so on. Even if we're talking about concrete, but if I have to stick in physical squibs every once in a while, you've got to say something about either, for example, these are just examples, the weather, the room that they're in, the physical posture, the face, the facial expression, the noise, the smell. I actually got to the point where my latest draft has a smell in it, and I was very proud of that. I mean, it belonged, but I had to put it in a gym to get that effect. But it's still the case that little squibs, little lines here or there, it's raining, she scratched her nose, etc., are not enough. You want something to break up long pages of dialogue, or at least I do, because I naturally tend to write dialogue. So I have to make a separate work out of sticking things into the dialogue, breaking it up without holding back the story. The crucial thing is that it has to keep moving. Something has to keep moving. You don't stop for a long discussion, certainly not in the early or middle parts. So you have to learn to insert action when the dialogue becomes overwhelming, too much. You insert an action that promotes the main line of development, but may put you into the physical world of things happening, and then you segue back to the discussion. So it's very hard for me to keep that focus on the physical because I just don't think that way, although I'm trying to now. But my main troubles are not at all about conversation or even about it being properly colloquial or suited to a high school student, etc., but about simply what physical fact should I include, when, how? Is it relevant or is it not relevant? I can't put it in just because something has to go there. I'm finding that maybe the hardest. And one example of how difficult I find these physical descriptions. Take a simple thing like a face. You want to describe, let's say, the hero's face. Well, the first attempt, I have a wonderful editor in New York, and I have 1 hour a month with her. And I show her my material first, and I described her face, wrote it down as part of some fiction. And she's very kind, but very astute and very sharp and knows everything. As far as I can tell, she's better than God. She said to me, you know, that would be good for a police blotter, but you are trying to write fiction. So you don't want that perfect, exact description. I started at the hair and how it was done. I always left out the nose, but I went to the eyes, of course, got a big play, and then the lips, and then the chin, you know, and then the cast of the head. And it would be 2 or 3 paragraphs of this face, which you could pretty much visualize, but you forgot the story by that point. So, you know, that has to go. So you have to pick, basically, 1 or 2 features, usually, and tell them in a way that they capture the whole face because the description is slanted to bring out the feeling or the character of the face. And I am finding that really difficult. See, as philosophy, I want to do the whole in one spot and say, okay, it's got 6 elements, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, now here's what it is, and here's what it connects to others. But now I can't do that. I have to feed little concretes, and if I decide, for instance, hair, nose, and shoulders are important, but I can't do it, if I can do it, without slowing down the story, what she told me to do is do the hair and the nose, for instance, or whatever, first, and then 3 paragraphs later, do the shoulders. People know it's the same person, and they put it together, and I found that very, very helpful. I wanted to try to do a traffic jam at one point. So I took 4 different kinds of cars and described stop and go, how they were next to each other and the color and the shape and the make and everything. And she said, well, that's very good, but you want to show the story continuing. So I said, well, how can I get traffic in then? She said, put 1 car on every 3rd paragraph, a different one. So your story is going on, they keep hitting traffic. Your reader adds it up to, oh, a lot of traffic, rather than you going into like a used car inventory. It's things like that that are so so new to me. Philosophy tells me, write in the abstract. Fiction says, write the concretes. Philosophy tells me your sequence and structure is determined by reality. Fiction tells me your sequence and structure is determined by the action and goal of the action. Philosophy says, I'm going to tell you step by step. This is where we are. This is where we're going. This is why. Fiction gives you things that you don't understand many times, mysteries, but that you want to understand. Philosophy is not mandated by you must be brief or you'll destroy the story. There's no such thing as you must be brief or you'll destroy the theory of objectivism. But in a story, pace is crucial. So if you want to get something complex in, you sneak in aspects of it as you go so it's unobtrusive. So my final answer, I hope I gave you just a taste of what I see as the differences. Once I'm considered as an adult with my philosophical experience, philosophy is easier because I have automatized its criteria and I'm just plunging into the contrasting demands of fiction. But assuming my knowledge of philosophy, I have to say that I think fiction will prove to be easier once I master certain techniques. I hope so. All I can say for me at this stage of my life is, Colin, philosophy in my mind is grim and it requires some vodka to keep going. Fiction is just fun, period. Thank you for listening to this long answer.